Joining us today is Rusty Coates, president and co-founder of Coates to Coates, a media consultancy company. He is also the founding director of the Local Media Consortium, a network of local and small media properties and newspapers, websites that are being radically affected by the coronavirus epidemic. He is also an old colleague of mine, literally was the guy who brought our newspaper, the Modesto Bee, to the internet, or brought the internet to the Modesto Bee way back in the 1990s. He's been doing this a long time. We're thrilled to get him on the show. Rusty, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
So let's talk. We've got a couple of issues to talk to you about, and you're probably better situated than most to explain this to us. Let's first talk about the effect. We are seeing layoffs all over Washington State. Sound Publishing is getting rid of people. I know you've done a lot of consulting out here with a variety of newspapers, websites. We're seeing the Everett Herald putting everybody at 32-hour weeks, and that's just to start. How is the epidemic affecting the small publications in the United States?
There are some people who call it the extinction level event for some media companies. Not all, not like a Stephen King super flu that allegedly took out 96% of the population. It's not going to be that bad for the local news industry, but it is going to thin the herd quite a bit. And you're just seeing the beginning of that because of the effects of the virus. You saw that with The Stranger of, you know, the majority of its advertising comes from people who go places and want to know about where they can go. And then when you can't go places, that goes away. So even yesterday, we had two of the largest newspaper chains in the country announce that they were doing furloughs and cutting executive salaries. Gannett, which is the largest, which also is the former Gatehouse, and Lee Enterprises, which bought the newspapers from Warren Buffett after Warren Buffett couldn't turn that around. So it's across the country, and it's pretty bad. You also are seeing a little bit of that in public radio and public media because most of them canceled their spring pledge drives to continue with news all the time. And so when the advertising goes away, when the pledges stop, when the membership drives don't happen, it doesn't matter who owns the local company, the local news company. It's the people who work and live there who are most affected.
Rusty, could you explain to people who may not understand the role of local news in the news ecosystem, in the news food chain?
It is, yeah, thank you. The Knight Foundation did a large study last year about news trust. And I'd say that the important part of local news starts with the fact that it is the most trusted news that exists. It trumps, if you can forgive the term, national news, even statewide news. People trust local news more than any other news source. And that's because, as a boss used to tell me when I was running 14 newsrooms for the company, he said he wanted to make sure that on Sunday, when the editor of the paper was in line at Wendy's after church, that the guy in front of him would think he was doing a bad job and the person behind him would think he was doing a good job. The important thing was that they knew him or her. And that is so important and so key to why local news is important. They're the boots on the ground in your community covering the things that affect you the most. Not part of a 24/7 spin cycle, not part of anyone's national posturing. They're just trying to get stuff done, and that's where your kids go to school. That's where you work. That's where you eat. That's where you live. And these are the issues that affect you the most.
Can you talk a little bit about the role local newspapers play, even in not just feeding their town, keeping their town informed, that trust relationship, which I think you're right, is very, very important, but also how they are also the seedbed for what the larger publications are doing. I mean, how many times have you worked at or been involved with a small paper that suddenly the big media entity saw a story in that small paper and then did its sort of version of the same story and propagating that sort of thing, how they work as the starting point for things?
They are. They are the fountain of all of that information, because that's where it happened. And yes, one of the most galling things about being a local reporter is when you break a story and then the big statewide newspaper comes in, or heaven forbid, a national news source comes in and picks it up and acts like they invented it, which is the news equivalent to being born on third base and running home and thinking you hit a home run. See, I mean, it's so important to do that, and it's only more compounded now that sources like Apple News and other aggregators, it's so hard for local news to come to the top because BuzzFeed will aggregate you, HuffPo will aggregate you, any number of these online only, Vox, Vice, go down the list, they'll aggregate your stories, they'll rewrite them just a little bit, and then there's just a story that trends up on Apple News. And I say that, dialing in from Florida, where, a Florida man story may have originated here, but everyone wants to camp on to the Florida man story because it's clickbait.
Well, and we do appreciate you guys providing that from Florida.
A valuable service.
It is a valuable service.
Rusty, very welcome.
Can I ask what is the problem exactly? What is it that that's causing these newspapers and these local media outlets to go under?
Well, a friend of mine at the New York Times once said, and he was retired, but he said the newspaper used to be the internet of the community. Right. It was everything. You would get some entertainment and news at noon, 6 and 11 from your television station. But the newspaper is what brought you jobs, job listings, car listings, home listings, all the news, school board listings, sports scores, all of those things. So just start with that as your business model and look at how that has just been exploded. I mean, that has been sent to the far winds. ESPN, hired a bunch of guys who worked for our sports departments away a long time ago. Business journals and business sites, CNBC would hire away our business reporters, and the homes and cars went the way of online advertising, which we held on to. Newspapers actually invented cars.com and apartments.com. That came from a consortium of news entities that built those, but we didn't invent eBay and we didn't invent Amazon for sure. And so a lot of the things that paid the bills for us went away. Where people went to get all that information became so atomized and so personal that they didn't have the one sheet that came to everybody that they would see. So it is both a business model problem, and it's the source of information problem that has gone everywhere. What we're left with is, to me, the most important piece of it, which is covering local communities and what happens in local communities. And we may not be, although most city newspapers are the source for their major sports teams, but they're even seeing MLB, NFL covering their own, and that disaggregates us as well. So that's what the one of the main problems is. And it's also not to say we're this beset, but look, I was the first one who brought the internet into the newspaper where Mike and I worked, and brought it in a little box and said, here's the internet. Now everyone is on the internet, because when I did that in 95, people were looking at me like, well, this isn't going to, I got so tired of the cliche of people saying, this is just a CB radio, that, I would go into an Irish rage, and I can say that because I'm Irish. And now everyone has the internet. Hell, my kids, never see anything in print. Other than their textbooks, they're on their phones as much as I will let them. And now that four of the five are adults, I got no say in that at all. So it's a medium choice. people are choosing the internet. Newspapers have done a great job of being online news sources for almost 25 years now. The issue is the business model continues to erode underneath them.
Joining us is Rusty Coates, president and co-founder of Coast to Coates. He's a media consultant and media expert, former reporter for McClatchy Newspapers. Rusty, what is their pathway out then? I mean, we're not even at the bottom yet. I understand that. And we're going to have more small local publications closing. I'm sure it's going to happen in the Puget Sound area as well. For the ones that are left, how do they navigate their way back out?
It's going to be a reinvention, Mike, and it's going to come after a difficult time. There's no two ways about it. There's been a lot of entrepreneurship in the news space with online startups. Seattle area had Every Block, which was an entrepreneur news site that went hyper-local on that. There are hundreds of them across the country. Organizations that fund into journalism, such as the American Journalism Project, the Knight Foundation, and now even the tech giants. Google and Facebook both pledged $300 million to be granted over the next 3 years to local news organizations to help sustain them and increase their sustainability going forward. No one saw a pandemic coming, of course, or thought that the effects of it would be this quick. So the short answer is it's going to be really difficult for however long this pandemic lasts. Estimates on how many local news outlets we will outright lose, are, of course, all over the map because people like to underdog it or overplay it. And I think it's very possible that within a year, if this continues on an 18-month trajectory, we could lose up to half of the local news outlets currently in our markets. And so the path out of that is what is left and what can be rebuilt. To me, one of the most resilient models out there, and it's not that they're not horribly affected by this as well, is public media. And people think of public media as, you know, these are NPR stations and they do what NPR tells them to do. And it is quite the contrary, because unlike the newspaper chains, public radio is a bottom-up model, not a top-down model. So they are locally owned. Their general managers live there locally. They're not flying in from corporate here to help. And they are there and have a fairly solid business model, even in this turbulent time. I was on the phone with six GMs from public media around the country earlier today. They're all talking about budget contingency plans, as everyone should be doing here. But it is not the going out of business contingency plan that you see with Mike. You and I lived in Sacramento for a while. The Sacramento News and Review has it's the alternate weekly, has shut its doors. And that only took 2 weeks to happen to them. That's how fast this is happening.
So, Rusty,
the contingency plan is rebuilding from what is left, and it's hard to say what is going to be left when you are on this side of the hill.
One thing I've seen, and it seems that there's this balance between being able to make enough money to support yourself and also providing necessary information for the public good. And during this coronavirus crisis, we've seen a lot of newspapers, I think the Seattle Times was one of the first to do it, to take down their paywall, their subscription paywall for coronavirus-related information. What do you think about that? And do you have any opinions on whether or not this is, I don't want to say fair, but how is it that we would expect news organizations to take down how they get their money, while other companies, other industries, it's perfectly okay for them to profit?
It is one of the most baffling things of my career, I have to say, that is what happened. You know, I'm not going to equate, and never would equate as a journalist, the surge pricing of Uber with crisis coverage. But if Uber ran newspapers, that's exactly what they do.
Right.
You would pay more for the news during a crisis than you do at any other time. But news people, as Mike knows very well, don't always think with their heads or their wallets. They think from their hearts. And they couldn't stand, even the people on the business side, until you get way up into the hedge funds, the people on the business side understand they play a vital role in their community. And it would be like, to journalists and people who run news companies, it would be tantamount to turning away someone at a blood bank who needed blood. You know, that would just go against everything in why you got into this. Doctors, you could say the same thing about doctors, but they still charge to when you go to the hospital. You know, they let's do no harm, but the typical coronavirus survivor who gets out of the hospital will have a hospital bill of $20,000. And maybe all but $1,200 of that is going to be paid for by insurance, but they're still going to have a bill for the medical community doing the right thing. It happens with every crisis. We do it in Florida with every hurricane. My thinking on that, my opinion on that is, as I said, I've done it several times, and I've ordered papers to do it several times in crisis coverage because it is the right thing to do. But also the right thing to do is to survive. And there are ways that you can continue to ask the community for money. You can ask them even for their email so you can contact them after that storm has passed, whether it's a pandemic or a hurricane or what have you, and say, look, we were here for you when you needed us most. We need you now. In the words of Sean Connery in The Untouchables, what are you prepared to do? You know, what are you prepared to do?
Can you do it with the accent?
And I would also... What are you prepared to do? it was one of the first things we bought on Amazon Prime, and not just because my wife would watch anything with Kevin Costner in it. So. But the other thing is, and many newspapers have done this. I'm not sure if Seattle Times has done this. The Blessings are known to be great innovators up there in the industry for sure. And a lot of newspapers have done online webinars and we're here for you types of things for their advertisers. So here's how you advertise during a pandemic, during a complete shutdown type of thing. You go with the basics. You know, we're still here. Here's our phone number. We hope to reopen on XYZ date. If you're doing carry out, as they're still doing in Florida, here's how we're handling that. You know, real basic information just to remind people that you're there.
Yeah, that was Rusty Coates, president and co-founder of Coast to Coates, a media consultancy company, expert on local media and a former newspaper reporter himself. Rusty, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.